Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on the station that's raising the game for women's football. TalkSport 2.
Good evening. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. It was a snowy Sunday for much of the south of England, which meant quite a few postponed fixtures. But we did still get three games this weekend as Manchester United broke down Birmingham to return to the top of the table.
Feed from Lauren James, delivery across the edge of the six-yard box, and just like that, United in for the first of the game. Only just kicked off in the second half, and it's Leah Goldson again for Manchester United.
150. Manchester City's captain caps off a record day with two goals, including a spectacular free kick.
It's Horton who takes it, and it's in. What a finish, and what an afternoon it is for Steph Horton.
The Lionesses are in safe hands after Norwegian legend Hege Riise takes the interim England manager position after Phil Neville's departure.
Get the players to be more prepared, and England has an experienced team, but still a few young players coming up, so I feel like this will be a good opportunity.
All that, plus a look at England's new interim manager and some of the movements in the January transfer window, as well as all the results from the Championship. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs, and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. Happy Monday, or whatever day it is you're listening, if you're listening on the podcast. Have a couple of cracking guests for you today. It's a very warm welcome to Fern Whelan, former Brighton, Liverpool and Everton defender. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Me too. Rich Laverty, lovely to have you back. Women's football writer and media officer at Sheffield United Women. What have you been up to?
Been on the South Coast this weekend, Faye. One of the few games that actually was on. We were fortunate that the weather kind of held out down in Lewis. So, it worked out well for us, obviously, whilst there was a lot of other grounds covered in snow.
Excellent. Well, we'll go into the Championship results later on in the show so you can tell us all about it. But I want to start with the breaking news that we heard earlier on, that Aston Villa have announced the former Birmingham City women's manager, Marcus Bignott, as their interim manager until the end of the season. Now, this caused a little bit of a stir earlier on in the Twitter sphere. Everyone a little bit confused, as there'd been no news at all stating that they'd parted company with head coach Gemma Davis, and they haven't. She's going to continue in her role as head coach, but Bignott will lead on team selection, tactics and training. He'll just be supported by the current staff. It seems to me, Fern, that they've seen a little bit of promise in Gemma Davis, youngest coach in the WSL. She's obviously inexperienced at this level, but perhaps thought she maybe needed a bit of a mentor in her first season in the WSL, so they've kept her on. How did you view it?
Yeah, I think, well, exactly like that. I think, you know, when the announcement first came out, I think everyone was a little bit confused. Will she stay? How will her role look? And I think, you know, any's kind of put on Twitter that they're looking to tap into Marcus's experience, you know, at a top level. He was with Birmingham Ladies for 7 years. So you can see why they've done it at this point in the season. You know, a little bit of confusion to start off with, but actually where they are, you know, they're not too far from the bottom of the league. They want to kind of try to stay in the league as much as they possibly can. So they've given obviously the confidence to Gemma Davies that they do want her as part of the team. They just want her to learn a little bit more along with the coaching staff. And that's the way I saw it, was that they're going to try and tap into as much experience from him as possible to help them remain in the league.
Mm, and he's got loads of experience, hasn't he, Rich? He's 46 years old now, and he was a bit of a revolutionary, if you like, when he joined Birmingham City back in 1998. He was only 24, so he's kind of got, you know, he knows what it's like to be a young manager in women's football. Obviously, a very, very different era back then for the game, but he is vastly experienced, and that's going to be key.
It is, and I think everyone, like you say, was a little bit surprised when we saw it. But I think the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. They haven't got rid of Gemma, like you said. She's a very promising, young, up-and-coming coach. She's done a great job over the last few years. And, you know, she can still do that job, still get on the grass, still coach the players, but have someone to lean on, to learn from. And someone who, you know, as Enya Luko said this morning, the buck now stops with Marcus. You know, the pressure is kind of off Gemma. She can go back to doing what she's done so well the last few years. And Aston Villa are growing quick. You know, last year they were in the Championship. We were competing with them at Sheffield United. And now they're signing, you know, World Cup winners, you know, one of the best players in Asia. So it's been a massive growth. And like you said, Marcus is very experienced. You know, he's coached in the women's game at the very top. He's coached, you know, teams to FA Cups, to FA Cup finals, to title challenges. So I think it's a no-lose for Aston Villa, really. Maybe it did seem strange at the time, but like I said, I think the more you actually think about it, I think it actually makes perfect sense for everybody involved.
We'll talk about Mana Iwabuchi and her fantastic debut for Aston Villa at the weekend in that 2-2 draw against Reading. But a little bit more about Marcus Bignott, because he now works in the men's game. He's actually going to keep his job as joint manager of National League North club Guiseley. Obviously, he's with Villa until the end of the season. We don't quite know whether another manager will come in at the end of the season and Gemma Davies will work under them, or whether 4 months is enough time for him to help round off, if you like, the rough diamond that is Gemma Davies, Fern.
Yeah, I think obviously it's an unknown, as it is for everyone, because the news has only just came out what the next steps will be. Whether he's interim because he's got two other roles going on at the moment and he can't take on too much, whether he'll be looking to eventually stay in the post and, you know, take the reign a little bit more after this season, depending on where they finish. It's anybody's guess as to what's going to happen. I think ideally Gemma would like to stay on and would like to lead the team and hopefully take on the experiences she's managed to learn from him over the next couple of months, as you say, into next season, to help Villa stay in the league and then to help them push on even more. I'm sure that, you know, they've got some more signings lined up potentially, and going forward for next season, I'm sure there'll be even more conversations for how do they better the team, how do they move on to the next level because of the investment that's gone into Aston Villa already.
And I tell you how I looked at it, Rich. I thought it was actually, when you look at what's happened today at Chelsea Football Club with Frank Lampard going, in football, you know, managers just are not given time a lot of the time, are they? I know that it's a results business. I understand that. And the more and more women's football grows, that follows the same lead. However, it feels really, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Supportive and clever and future-proofing for Aston Villa to actually think, no, we've got a great coach here, but we need these results at the moment. And I thought to myself, this is a club that's really going places if they're looking that far forward.
Yeah, and look, I think we spoke about this earlier in the season when we had the 24-hour period where Matt Beard and obviously Juan Carlos Amoros and Karen Hills lost their jobs at West Ham and Tottenham. And it's becoming more ruthless because there's more on the line now. Aston Villa put a lot into it last season to go from a team the year before that was losing 12-0 on the opening day to Manchester United to, you know, getting promoted last season. They put a lot into that in the Championship last season to get themselves into the position they are now, to be a WSL team, to challenge the top side, to sign some, you know, incredibly good players. And, you know, they don't want to go straight back down. you know, and they're down there. Obviously, Bristol are struggling, and you know, Aston Villa may have stayed up with Gemma. You know, they may stay up anyway. They may not. We don't know yet. But I think you're right. You know, I think a couple of years ago, would this decision have been made? Probably not, because I think there is more pressure now. There is more scrutiny from fans, from media, in the sport as a whole. And, you know, we're seeing more and more managers now under pressure, you know, down the bottom half of the league. You know, half those teams down there have changed their manager this season. So, but I think Aston Villa have been sensible because they haven't just cast aside a good young coach. And, you know, we do see in the women's game, sometimes once you're out, it's very difficult to get back in. So the fact that Gemma is still connected there is great for her. It's great for Aston Villa. And yeah, look, if it works out and Aston Villa stay up and they get some results, people are going to say it's an inspired move.
Yeah, and he's an interesting character because he's part of the elite pathway coaching placement scheme that the FA have, and he's currently working with the England under-19s. And he was a real pioneer back in 98 when he took over at Birmingham, really shaking up the youth system as well. So is this perhaps a nod to what Villa are thinking in the future, that academy players and growing their own talent is the way forward, Fern?
Yeah, and I was just about to add, obviously, to Rich's last point as well. It's kind of a similar situation in terms of when I first signed at Brighton, I signed under Amy Merricks when she was first there, and they, you know, she's another good, really young coach, but for her to take the reins, to take, obviously, a team straight into WSL, into WSL 1 at the time, they then obviously appointed Hope Powell, and Amy's become her kind of assistant. She's learnt underneath her as well. So I think, you know, it does like pave the way for quite an important transition for these young managers to learn off more experienced. But yeah, in terms of, you know, Marcus and what he can bring, if he's coaching at the under 19 level, he's obviously got experience with youth. And I think I know from any developing well from under 19s all the way through into seniors, she's seen what it's like to develop as a young player. And there's a lot of young players in that squad who will be looking to, you know, to do the same, learn from more experienced player. It's really important that they can get that blend between the two, between youth and between experience. So, you know, looking at the signing of Iwabuchi and bringing her in, it's great and it's experience, but then it's about developing the younger players at the same time and getting that real good blend, and not just throwing too much at it in terms of money and experience and that type of thing. You want to help these players develop and learn as much as possible.
And that's the kind of foresight you get when you sign a sporting director like Eni Aluko, isn't it? For sure. So the club's second from bottom in the WSL. Two wins from their opening 10 matches. I mean, they got a draw against Reading. We've mentioned Maya Iwabuchi a few times now. So let's talk about that game, shall we? Because actually, I thought, you know, defensively, they did very well, Aston Villa, because Reading threw everything at them. Perhaps should have been well clear in the first half, but it was all about the Japanese sensation. She only joined Villa this month. First start for the club, and she gets an assist and a goal, and they came from behind twice. That's an impressive kind of debut, Fern.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, watching her play, she looks so clever on the ball. She's obviously a very experienced player, and she was providing that real good link-up play between her and the front three, which is obviously what Villa have kind of been missing a little bit. You know, so I think for her to come on and get an assist and a goal in that debut is brilliant, and they'll be looking for her to do that going forward for them in the games to come. It's a huge point, you know, right at the end of the game against the Reading side, who, you know, have took points off big teams this year. So, but I think it's obviously their inconsistency, which Villa kind of, you know, capitalised on in that. And they did really well. It was a great, you know, a great debut from her. It was a really clever worked free kick, which I don't think anyone was expecting it to be drilled along the floor, and for her to tap in and score a goal. And it was great to see.
Yeah, I mean, and the second one came in really poor conditions. You have to really feel for Grace Maloney in the Reading goal, because the snow was coming down quite heavily, and it was a bit of a goalmouth scramble. Diana Silva with the goal in the end. It leaves Villa level with West Ham on 7 points. They're both 5 points ahead of Bristol City, who are at the bottom. So, I mean, it's looking, you know, like a few more points on the board will start to give them a little bit more confidence, and certainly that point the other day will do as well. But you know, interesting times for sure at Aston Villa, and yeah, we look forward to seeing what Marcus Bignot can do. Right, this is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with Fern Whelan, Faye Carruthers and Rich Laverty. Coming up, we will bring you more action from the Barclays FAWSL. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football, with Faye Carruthers, former Brighton defender Fern Whelan and women's football writer Rich Laverty. Now, don't forget, if you miss any of our shows or you want to listen again, our podcast is available on the TalkSport app. So download it today and go to our podcast section. Now then, there were quite a few big names. Transfers this past week. Let's start with the one that excited everybody, particularly Everton fans, the wonderful Jill Scott, on loan from Manchester City until the end of the season. The England midfielder spent 7 years at Everton, left back in 2013. I personally, Fern Whelan, am very excited about this one because Everton had a little blip. You know, they had a number of injuries and some postponements and, you know, a little bit of a bump in the road. But I think with Jill Scott linking up with the likes of Lucy Graham and Izzy Christensen and Valerie Govan back from injury, I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, and I think everybody should be. You know, Jill's a fantastic player and an unbelievable signing for Everton for the second half of the season, to be honest. And as you say, they've now got Valerie Govan back as well, and that's what they've been lacking for the last couple of games, is that goal-scoring edge. So to have Jill on board with the experience she brings, you know, not only on the pitch but off the pitch, to those players around her that are really going to look up to her. And, you know, she's won a lot at City as well, so she's got that winning mentality to instill that within the girls. She's obviously technically a very good player and brings a lot of experience to the team. And I think, you know, going forward for the rest of the season, it's really exciting to see what, you know, what Everton can do. And if they can really start the second half of the season like they did the first half of the season, it'll be brilliant to see.
And she's clearly got the Olympics in mind and the upcoming home Euros, which, you know, you'd hope she'd be able to be fit. Obviously, she's getting older and knows her time, you know, to retire is not that far away, Rich. So she probably has an eye on that, and that's what's prompted this move.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised Manchester City let her go, in a way. I suppose she's probably earned that kind of loyalty over the years with what she's given to Manchester City. But obviously with a few players out and the Americans obviously on camp at the moment, you know, she'd actually played the last few games for Manchester City. So, but it's a great move for her. You know, she does need guaranteed game time. And when everybody's been fit at Manchester City and available, it hasn't really been there this season. I think, you know, she can still offer a lot on the pitch. We've seen that in the last few games for Man City. You know, she can still contribute. So, and I think her experience will be important. You know, Everton are trying to get back towards where they were when Jill was there first time around, you know, when they were title challengers and they were reaching cup finals. And, you know, that's the aspiration for that team now. But there's a lot of young players there. And, you know, I'm sure the insight and experience that Jill can offer off the pitch is going to be as invaluable as what happens on it, because she's only going to be there a few months. She's got an 18-month deal at Man City as a player coach, so you'd expect her to be back in the summer. But yeah, you know, it works for her because she's going to play. And like you said, she's probably got eyes on Tokyo. And for Everton to have that experience and quality on and off the pitch, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, shame we didn't get to see her take her bow against Spurs at the weekend, but that game, one of the postponements. Maria Torres-Dottir left Chelsea to go to Manchester United. She was an unused sub for the game against Birmingham. I mean, again, I feel as if the Olympics is very much in a lot of these players' minds, and the Norwegian international will have wanted more game time, Fern.
Yeah, definitely. And you can't blame them for doing it. I think at this point in the season, you know, the Olympics is the pinnacle of a player's career, so they're going to want to go and get as much game time as possible. And for Man United, it's an unbelievable signing for them to have Torres-Dottir there. She's, you know, she brings a whole lot of experience and obviously strength in that defence as well. So for her to go to Man United, it's going to be really interesting to see, because she obviously bolters the already strong squad that they've already got. So it'll be interesting to see where she fits in. But as you say, she's obviously been promised some sort of game time, and you know, if the performance has come, then she'll be within the squad and then helping them push towards the title for this season.
Young England defender Abby McManus as well has gone to Spurs on loan from Manchester United, and again needs more game time. Interesting that the former England assistant Rhianne Skinner has taken her, Rich.
Yeah, again, like you say, a little bit of a ripple effect, all these players trying to get game time now until the end of the season. And again, another no-brainer, really, because Abby is, you know, vastly experienced now. She's played for two top clubs. She's always been a regular. She's very versatile. You know, she can play all across that back line. She's always a solid player, you know, doesn't do anything overly spectacular, but doesn't often make mistakes. You know, she's a consistent presence. And, you know, you don't be as big a part of the Manchester City team that she was and then go to Manchester United if you're not a good player. So for Tottenham, I think it's a really smart piece of business. If they can get her permanently, even better, because, you know, they've done some good business recently, tying, obviously, Alana Kennedy and Shalina Zdorsky down to permanent deals. So I think Tottenham have got a bright future. If they can start picking up players of that calibre and build a solid team under a good young coach, like you said, in Rhianne, I think Tottenham are a team to watch. And Abby, you know, like you say, she's going to play every week, so it's great for her. And yeah, there's a few players now, like you say, are just eyeing up Tokyo, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it happens. But that's what they're all looking to at the moment.
Exactly. Well, fingers crossed we get no more postponements and we actually get to see these players in action. It did make a welcome change to have postponements due to the weather, but it did leave us with just three FAWSL matches to dissect, and here's how they played out.
Fishlock lurking on the edge of the area. A lot of space here for Fishlock. Decent effort palmed away by Weiss. And Harry James on the rebound has scored. Now Iwabuchi into Hales. Returns it to Iwabuchi. Across to Silva, and it's in! A goal and now an assist for Iwabuchi on her full debut in the Women's Super League. And it's Diana Silva with her first Women's Super League goal for Aston Villa, who has turned in to make it 2-2.
Ever feet from Lauren James, delivery across the edge of the six-yard box, and just like that, United in for the first of the game. Only just kicked off in the second half, and it's Leah Galton again for Manchester United.
It's Horton who takes it, and it's in. What a finish, and what an afternoon it is for Steph Horton. This could be the goal of the game, the way they've worked the ball here. It's Kelly. Well, we've seen some brilliant finishes in this match so far. It's the goal that she deserves after her earlier assists. Here comes Kelly. Kelly's cross. It's seven. And for the second week running, Manchester City scores seven goals in the WSL.
I've always felt that it's taken a little bit of time for us to get our build-up play right, but I've always felt comfortable that we are usually arrive in the final third in good control. It was just that when we got there in certain moments, like against Brighton earlier on in the season, that the decision-making was slightly off or players weren't in the right position. And I think it takes some time, you know, with a new coach and new ideas. And I think some of our play over recent weeks and certainly in the build-up to Christmas has been great, and now we're finishing those chances.
That was Manchester City head coach Gareth Taylor talking there. We'll get to City's 7-1 demolition of Brighton shortly. Sorry, Fern. Manchester United 2, Birmingham City 0, though. Birmingham defended well in the first half. Another top performance from Hannah Hampton as well. I mean, we've talked about Team GB and the Olympics coming up. Hannah Hampton has the best save percentage in the WSL and surely should be one of the goalkeepers being taken out to Tokyo on that kind of form. United's pressure did eventually pay off. They scored within 14 seconds of the restart through Leah Galton. Lauren James with the delivery there. It was absolutely perfect from the right-hand side, so she could turn it in from close range. And then Ella Toon added a second for United in off the post with 10 minutes to go. 23 attempts to one for Birmingham is what Manchester United had. They're so dominant, Fern, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And I think, you know, Birmingham did really well in to withstand that pressure. As you say, Hannah Hampton made some unbelievable saves. to keep it to 0-0 at half time. You know, Birmingham will have been absolutely buzzing to go in at half time, be 0-0 after all the chances Man United were having. You know, Carla Ward, as she was saying, they were defensively well organised in that first half, and Man United had such a strong side out as well. And, you know, it just takes a little bit of magic from Lauren James to just pull something out of completely nothing, really. And then Leah Galton does really well to, you know, to assist and show why she got December's Player of the Month. But, you know, the Man United looked really strong and really direct, and yeah, probably would have scored more if it wasn't for Hannah Hampton in goal.
Worthy of that top spot at the moment. I know Chelsea didn't play this weekend, Rich, but, you know, are they going to push Chelsea all the way?
I think at this point, when you get to the end of January and you're as high up as Manchester United are, you have to, you know, say they can go all the way. Obviously, Chelsea do have those games in hand, but it's not as simple, you know, that they're scheduled at the moment. They could definitely have done without the postponement at Bristol at the weekend because they're scheduled with Conti Cup, Champions League. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with the FA Cup, but they're scheduled is really, you know, it's closing up at the moment. But they've got a big squad and they've got a lot of quality. So I still think Chelsea are the favourites and they showed their class last week against United. You know, it could have been more than the 2-1, but you know, United have been great. You know, the question mark at the start of the season was, could they score the goals? You know, that's what they were lacking last season. Casey, as you would have expected as a defender, has organised them very well. They were very organised last season, but they just didn't have that cutting edge up top. And I think, you know, bringing in obviously Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, you know, everyone got excited about that. But I think the improvement and the consistency now of Leah Galton, of Ella Toon, of Lauren James, that's been the big difference. You know, Leah's probably been one of, if not their star of the season. Ella has consistently chipped in with goals. And, you know, the goal Leah scored yesterday was very, very similar to the goal she scored against Chelsea on the opening day. She just stole in behind the defender. She's so good at it. She's fast. She's got good movement. She can finish. She's got a bit of everything. And she's really, really shone through this season. And, yeah, look, they can go all the way. It's not going to be easy. Those four teams at the moment, all of them are playing well, you know, in different circumstances. Arsenal have had a little bit of a dip, but one of them's going to miss out on Champions League football, and it's really hard to say who it's going to be. You know, United and Chelsea have been up there the whole season, but you look at where Man City are now. They looked out of it, you know, near the start of the season, and now they're 5 points off the top. They've got a game in hand, and they, you know, they've still got a couple of key games to play, but at home where they're very, very good. So, you know, it's going to be very, very tight. I wouldn't like to predict who's going to win the league or make those Champions League spots at the moment, because every game now is going to be crucial. And with schedules tightening, I think it's going to be a very exciting end to the season.
Yeah, definitely. And Manchester City are not letting go of that grip and that desperation to qualify for the Champions League again. It was a dominant display from them. Brighton 1, Manchester City 7, back-to-back 7-goal games for Gareth Taylor's side. They controlled the game from the first minute, Fern. Listen, from a Brighton perspective, how disappointed will Hope Powell be with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think she will be very disappointed, to be honest. To concede 7 goals after taking a point from them at the start of the season, I think will be really disappointing. And in the manner in which they did it, you know, there's no taking away from Man City. They were absolutely unbelievable yesterday. And I think, you know, City of old, maybe if they score a couple, they know they've won, they take their foot off the gas. Whereas yesterday, there was no taking the foot off the gas. They wanted more and they wanted more. Obviously got that goal difference in mind, but Hope sets her teams up to play, you know, to be hard to beat first and foremost. And I think obviously they weren't yesterday, and that'll probably be where the disappointment comes in to start with. To, you know, there's a couple of sloppy goals, obviously a couple were set pieces, and, you know, just getting carved open a little bit too easy, where some of the goals maybe were a bit more preventable. So I think she will be disappointed in a way that they were conceded, but obviously credit to Man City for the way in which they were so clinical yesterday and so direct going forward.
important with a brace apiece as well. That fantastic free kick from Steph Horton on her 150th WSL appearance. That's a league record, and on her birthday as well. I love it when all the anniversaries come together, because it was also the 7-year anniversary of City's relaunch. 3 assists and a goal for Chloe Kelly as well. Can't miss that out. She's been a revelation this season for Manchester City. But they are just so dominant, and broke another record, Rich, as well. Set the record for the most successful passes in a WSL match with 810. City's men hold the Premier League record for 942, set back in 2018. And as you said, you know, they go third, a point ahead of Arsenal. They're starting to really click again at the moment, and they're desperate to finish in those Champions League spots.
Yeah, I think they will as well. I think Arsenal have stagnated a little bit. I think Man City, like you said, the perfect word there is they've clicked. They drew with Brighton at home earlier in the season, and now they've gone and put 7 past them with a few key players missing. They've got goals coming from all around the team. They're playing good football. You know, even against Chelsea midweek, they looked good. You know, they looked threatening against, you know, one of the best teams in Europe. So I think Gareth Taylor will be really happy, and I think they might fall short for the title, but I do think they'll qualify for the Champions League.
And Steph Horton on her 150th WSL appearance. We couldn't not hear from the Manchester City and Lionesses captain, could we? Here she is.
Yeah, massively proud. I think obviously remembering the first game in the WSL to now, it's come such a long way, and to be a part of women's football and how much it's grown, but also to represent two amazing clubs in Arsenal and Man City, it is a real honour, and to have played that many games and to be the first person, yeah, it's a special moment. It's definitely up there, but hopefully there's a lot more to come.
And Fern, what from a player's point of view, what kind of achievement is that? She's been just absolutely fantastic for women's football, Steph Horton. Still is, by the way. I'm not retiring her, by the way. But what an achievement.
What an unbelievable achievement. You know, I've played alongside Steph before, and she's a great player, you know, a great advocate for the women's game. The experience she brings to the, you know, to the Man City side, to the England side, and just what she's done for the game in general, you know, the way she plays the game, she's so calm, she's so composed, and not only does she play for herself, she plays for the rest of the team. So it's a great credit to her for getting to 150 games, and for doing it for the first time, you know, ever in the league as well. It couldn't have gone to a more deserving player. Well done to Steph, really. She's done an unbelievable job there.
Yeah, she certainly has. Actually, I saw on social media earlier on, somebody had asked Steph what the dressing room was like without Jill Scott in it, whether it was quieter or not. And she just laughed and said, well, it's tidier. We've heard that quite a few times about Jill Scott. Right, you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers alongside Fern Whelan and Rich Laverty. If you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading the TalkSport app and subscribing to our podcast. Just search TalkSport Women's Football Weekly. Coming up on the only dedicated national radio show for women's football, we'll find out more about the new interim manager of the Lionesses, Hege Riise.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football, with me, Faye Carruthers, alongside former Brighton defender Fern Whelan and Rich Laverty, women's football writer. Now then, we brought you the news here on Women's Football Weekly last Monday that Phil Neville was leaving the job, and we told you that we would find out in the next couple of days who would be stepping into his shoes in an interim basis. And then on the Tuesday/Wednesday, we were told that Hege Riise, the amazing former Norway international who retired back in 2004 as the most capped player of all time for both the men and women of Norway, World Cup winner, European champion, Olympic gold medalist as well. She's also been working as a coach within the USA national team setup and is taking interim charge of at least the February camp. What was your first reaction, Fern Whelan, when you heard this news? Because she's a bit of a legend, isn't she, Hege?
Yeah, I mean, to be the most cap player and then to be able to take our national side, you know, I think that's something that the players will definitely be looking up to, because she'll bring with her, I feel like I've said experience so many times in this show, but she'll bring with her so much experience and, you know, of obviously being in winning teams, being at World Cups and being in and around Jill Ellis in the USA squad as well. So for me, it's a, you know, it's a great appointment and one that can only help, and you know, for it may be for a short period of time. But I saw an interview that she did over the course of the last week, and even she again spoke of lending those experience to the young players coming through, and trying to instill that winning mentality in them even in such a short term. So I think, you know, it can only be a good appointment for England going forward. It might be the next step that they need to start, you know, taking games to teams and actually winning games really going forward.
And that is the key phrase, the winning mentality. And that's what the FA have done in their appointment of Serena Wiegmann, who comes in September. And they almost needed, with Phil Neville leaving, and he brought, you know, that kind of mentality that he'd taken from Manchester United and England when he was a player into the squad, there needed to be somebody that would be able to carry that on up until September. And this seems like a good fit. It's interesting, Rich, because I was on our sister station Talk Sport on the Wednesday talking to Simon Jordan and Jim White, who were questioning why an English coach had not been brought through and taken this role. And as I understand it, no English coach actually applied, because the initial application was actually to be Phil Neville's assistant coming up. And then it was given to Hege Riise and Rhian Wilkinson, former Canada international. And actually, I thought about it and I thought, well, it doesn't have to be an English coach if they're not ready, which I don't think the coaches that are currently on the elite pathway are ready. We've lost two big coaches in Bev Priestman and Rhian Skinner. And then, of course, Mo Marley retired. So to me, getting somebody of this calibre makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think, like you say, the fact that actually they were applying for the assistant role is the most critical part of this. You know, they were not applying to take Phil Neville's job, they were applying to work with him. And as we understand it, Hege and Rhian were the two outstanding candidates for that role. And obviously they've now both been put into place to replace Phil during this interim period. And I think they couldn't have stumbled upon better people, you know, two legends of the women's game as players, you know, but as coaches as well. You know, Rhian has coached the youth teams over in Canada. Hege's CV as a coach speaks for itself. The titles that she's won domestically in Norway, she's worked with the US national team, so it's exciting. It's a little bit of a shame. Sometimes you get something so good, but you're not going to have it for so long. But obviously, to have Serena coming in afterwards is equally exciting. And yeah, I just hope we have some games. Obviously, we've struggled. We've not had a game for nearly a year now. But you know, if you're looking for two experienced heads, two really good coaches to guide a team, you know, through a period now before their new head coach comes in, you couldn't have found two better people. And I'd love for, I don't think Hegge will be because she's taking a role up with the Norway Association in September. But, you know, for Rianne, if she was to be involved with Serena's setup moving forward, I think that would be very exciting. I'll offer them to lead Team GB as well. I think everyone would be quite happy with that. So I think the FA have done a great job in finding two really talented people and two icons of the women's game.
Yeah, I've heard she's a fantastic person and technically and tactically astute as well, and that Serena Wiegmann knows Hegge. They were both on the FIFA best list, interestingly, which Serena Wiegmann went on to win. So as I understand it, the coaching team for February for the Lionesses is going to be Mark Mason as the goalkeeping coach, Ian Foster, who's with the men's under-19s at the moment, doing sessions on the grass with the players, and then Hegge and Rianne as well. And the FA just kind of want to see how it goes, but it's quite an open process, and then hopefully we'll actually get some friendly games that the players will be able to play. But exciting times for the Lionesses, for sure. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers alongside former Brighton defender Fern Whelan and Rich Laverty. If you miss any of the show, as I say every week, you can find our podcast by downloading the TalkSport app and searching for Women's Football Weekly. And next we're going to be rounding up the Championship and shining our spotlight on new Coventry United striker Georgia Stevens.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, and keeping you company with me is former Brighton defender Fern Whelan and Rich Laverty, women's football writer and, of course, media officer at Sheffield United, which leads me beautifully onto the Championship. And I understand you were at Lewis at the weekend, Rich. You were 2-0 winners against Lewis. How was the game? How are you looking for the season? You're third now, 7 points behind leaders Leicester.
Yeah, it was good. Probably one of our best performances, really, given how solid and improved Lewis have been this season. You know, they drew with Durham down there a few weeks ago. They've drawn with Liverpool down there as well. So I think for us to go down there and win 2-0 and have the chances we did was a real sign of where we're at. I think for us, we probably blew it a little bit before Christmas. We had a couple of draws at home, which were close games where we just didn't take our chances, and that's probably hurt us a little bit. I think the 7-point gap, obviously Leicester have a game in hand. It's frustrating. I don't think myself and the players that I spoke to about it, I don't think we feel that kind of net 10-point gap is representative of where we've been. It's taken a while. Obviously, Neil came in the summer and came in very late before the season started, so it took a little bit of time, but I think you're now seeing the product of what Neil's putting in place, the kind of football we're playing, how solid we've been. We've kept 8 clean sheets in 14 games. We only kept 2 last season. Obviously, Wilco up front has been amazing again, top scorer again at the moment. You know, she's looking good to win a golden boot 2 years in a row. And yeah, look, it's going to be hard to go up with where we are now, but we're enjoying it. It's a great, great group this year. Everyone's enjoying it. You know, there's a lot of smiles on faces at the moment. And 6 games to go, we just got to pick up what points we can. And if we're in there, you know, we're ahead of Liverpool at the moment, who are full-time. So, you know, for us as a part-time team, I think that says it all about how well we're doing.
Yeah, and smiles on faces is the most important thing. This is football. It's here to be enjoyed as well as getting results. Durham were 1-0 winners over London Bees. They're second, level on points with Leicester. But as Rich said, Leicester with a game in hand there. And London City beat Blackburn Rovers 3-0. There was some Conti Cup action midweek as well. Chelsea beat Manchester City 4-2 with some fantastic goals from Sophie Ingle and Neve Charles. West Ham were 3-0 winners over second place Championship side Durham, which means the semi-finals are as this: Bristol City against Leicester City and Chelsea against West Ham. 3rd of February, those fixtures. Very much looking forward to that. Now then, our spotlight is back, and this time it's focusing on Georgia Stevens of Coventry United. She featured on BT Sports' Ultimate Goal. She's a former Liverpool and Everton Academy player and spent some time playing in Iceland for top-tier club Tor KA. She's recently joined Coventry United in the Championship. Let's hear from her.
I've been playing football pretty much. I'm very fortunate that I was a girl who was never turned away from football. So I've been playing pretty much since I could walk, and I was in a team when I was about six, and I was in Liverpool's academy when I was 10, switched over to Everton at 11, and I was there through till 16. I got let go from Everton at 16, which kind of threw things into like a bit of a spiral, and I didn't know where I was going to go. And fortunately enough, I went to Blackburn for a season, won top goal scorer, won the league with them. We got to the cup final against Tottenham. And from there, I made a few first team appearances, and then made the switch over to Sheffield United under Carl Ward, and it was the team that then got promoted to the Championship. So that was my first kind of taste of the Championship. I think was a Conti Cup game against Bristol for maybe a half. But from there, I then went on loan to Fylde, switched to Fylde, bounced again to Huddersfield, who were in the National League, obviously. And then lockdown kind of hit, and the opportunity to go on a reality TV show called Ultimate Goal came up. And for me, it was never about getting on telly or anything. It was more, I was in lockdown, I wasn't training, and this was a chance to train for 2 weeks non-stop at St. George's Park. I took it up. I kind of was successful from it and got a contract in Iceland to play professionally. And again, I returned home, and I've now just signed for Coventry United in the Championship.
And what was it like playing in Iceland? It's a bit of a niche place to go that, you know, in women's football terms as well, like lots of players go to Norway, lots of players go to Sweden, Germany, but it's not really somewhere that's known for women's football. So what was it like going out there? What was your experience like there?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, when I got the call to go there, and it was a pretty, it had to be a fast turnaround. I had maybe 3 days to make a decision and pack up and go. And I didn't know much about it at all. I Googled, but the one thing that kind of stuck in my mind was I knew Rachel Brown-Finnis had gone when she was at Everton. She'd done like a season over, and she had texted our producer who was in contact with me and sorting it out and said, you know, you'll really enjoy it. It's a great league, it's a real professional. And I thought, well, I'm getting that kind of reassurance from someone that I trust. And so I just kind of jumped in with both feet. And in the end of the day, it was a way for me to test. I found out, you know, the winner of the league gets to play in the Champions League. The team I played for had played against Wolfsburg a little over 4 years ago. And that's in like the round of 16 in the Champions League against, at the time, some of the world's best players. So I knew it was going to be a step up. I didn't think it would be such a big step up. It was certainly a bit of a culture shock, but for me, it was everything. It was the perfect opportunity. And if anything, it's given me a platform to compare against to now. If something doesn't measure up to how it was over there, then it's not worth my time, because there are opportunities out there to be treated and trained like a professional.
Interesting stuff there from Georgia Stevens, Coventry United's new striker. I've been fortunate enough to meet Georgia. She's a really smart cookie, has some exciting ideas for the future of the game as well. So we wish her the best of luck. Coventry United in 10th in the Championship at the moment. Right, our time is up. Fern, before you go, I just want to catch up with you and see what you've been up to. Barely spoken to you in the last 5 or 6 minutes, so apologies for that. Obviously, you left Bryce, and you're working on the physio team there, I understand.
Yeah, I managed to land a role as senior academy physio there. So I've been working with the men's under 23s since the start of the season. So yeah, it's been go, really, been quite busy. And then obviously I've just gone off now in the last week on maternity leave.
When are you due?
Due in April, so I had to be signed off early because of COVID reasons and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still working from home at the minute, but yeah, really excited. So due in April, so it's a lot of change at the moment, but all for the better.
Oh, well, just an excuse for us to get you on as well. Another escape when you're going to be sleep deprived come April. So hopefully we shall speak to you again soon on Women's Football Weekly. Thanks for joining us. Rich Laverty, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Faye. Always happy to talk to you guys.
Up the Blades. Right, next week, England's most capped player, Farah Williams, is with us. It's her birthday today as well, so happy birthday, Farah. But thanks to Fern Whelan, Rich Laverty, Georgia Stevens, and to all of you, as ever, for listening today. Don't forget, if you do miss any of the show, or you want to listen back to any of our specials from last year, you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.